Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, July the 9th. As we like to do from time to time, we'll be checking with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. Tonight, we'll be looking at this special session that is already underway, and we'll be looking at some of the issues on the session. Obviously, the reason we're having a special session is because we didn't finish the first one. And the first one we didn't finish. Actually, the first one, the regular session, was a huge success for Governor Abbott and the Republicans. But at the end, of course, the Democrats walked out, and we know the rest of the story. That simply meant that they had to come back to finish what was unfinished from the first one. But they've added some other issues this time, and we'll see what our friend George has to say about that. Hello, George Rodriguez. I understand you're getting some rain down in San Antonio.
We have had a ton of rain. I mean, wow. It has been epic. It has really been epic. And we expect to have some more this weekend. We expect to have some this evening, later tonight. It has been the wettest July so far in recorded history. So
okay, you know, they how far back do they go with the weather in San Antonio? I'm sure they could probably go back billions of years, right? When the dinosaurs used to have elections down there in San Antonio, right?
It's always funny to hear them talk about how, you know, it's the wettest and it's
yeah.
climate change and all this sort of stuff. When, you know, they've only been recording the weather since the 1870s.
Right.
So, you
know. No, I find that amusing too, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm not making fun of the people who do this because I know they're very professional. I'm sure they do the best they can. But it is funny to me when they say the wettest ever, and I'm saying, okay, did you ask the people back in the 1200s about this? I mean, we've only, like you say, been keeping really records for maybe 150 years. So maybe we can say it's the wettest that we know of in 150 years, George.
Yes, it is.
The wettest since, let's pick a landmark in the 19th century. The wettest since James Buchanan, President James Buchanan. How's that?
There you go.
How is that for a landmark? Okay, there you go. Well, we have a very serious situation down in Austin. There's a repeat of the legislative session. As you know, they didn't finish the last one. I think the last time, Governor Abbott did very well, except at the very end, of course. You know, the Democrats walked out, and now we're back to finish the job. Before we get to the session, though, I just want to ask your input on the governor's race. Right now, of course, Governor Abbott is running for re-election, although I don't think he has formally said so. I think it's pretty much everybody understands that he is. And there's a couple of challenges, both coming from the right. There is former Representative West, who was until recently chairman of the Republican Party here in Texas. There's Mr. Huffines. Of course, we know him up here in North Texas, or at least we know the family very well up here. They are a very successful family in many business ventures. So when you say Huffines in North Texas, everybody understands the name. It's a very successful and, from everything I understand, a very nice family up here in North Texas. So what are your thoughts? I mean, I was not expecting these challenges because it takes a lot of money to compete for governor in Texas, and I'm not sure these two guys are going to have it. But anyway, well, what is your reaction to the challenges to Governor Abbott, George?
Well, it's going to be, anybody who challenges Governor Abbott is going to have a hard time because he is the incumbent, and he is very much respected. I mean, there's some folks that he's not conservative enough. Well, you know, when is anyone conservative enough? I mean, you know, that's always been an issue. What's fascinating to me is two things. First of all, that you do have somebody like from the Huffines family that's wealthy and, North Texas originals, that they are willing to challenge, Mr. Huffines is willing to challenge an incumbent popular governor. That's very, very interesting to me. The second thing that's interesting to me is that somebody who's not a native Texan, who just recently, metaphorically speaking, moved to Texas, Mr. West, that he's willing to challenge the governor. And, there's a lot of folks that have fallen, a lot of conservatives that have already fallen in line with both of them. And so it'll be very, I think that the conservative vote is definitely going to be split. It'll be very, very interesting. But I think a third, if I can add one, interesting facet to this whole governor's race is that the Democrats don't have anybody.
Right. Well, that was going to be my next point, because you're right. I mean, we're only talking about, and you're exactly right. I was going to make that point too, because when it comes to the Attorney General and when it comes to the governor, we're not talking about any Democrats.
Yep.
I mean, which is really remarkable when you think about it, George, because only 2 years ago we were told that, the state of Texas.
Blue.
Yeah, I mean, that we were going to turn blue. I mean, just a couple of years ago. I mean, that was the campaign. And I'm sure they're going to try to do it again. But it's kind of hard to beat it's kind of hard to run in 2022 if you don't really have somebody who can win across the state line. So I agree with you. I'm amazed that no Democrat. Now, there's talk about Beto O'Rourke, and I understand he's on his listening tour. But, George, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a lot of people listening. Have you?
He's listening. I'm not sure where he's listening, but he is
right.
Listening. I'm sure.
Well, he may be listening to
To us now.
Yeah, that's right. He may be listening to us right now, but he may also be reading that poll that just came out here recently that has him trailing Governor Abbott by 13 points.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's not the kind of polling data he wanted to hear. But you're right. It's so interesting that all the focus on anything, that is Texas, that is the state of Texas, is really Republican, whether it's governor, whether it's attorney general. And, of course, the attorney general race is going to get very interesting, and we'll talk about that some other night. But let's talk about the session coming up. Obviously, the vote integrity law will be top of the line here, top of the list. I expect that to pass. I don't know what legislative gimmicks they have at this point. They may come up with one that I don't know. But I expect it to pass. And I also, I think the Democrats were also basically handed a reality check when the Supreme Court wrote that opinion about Arizona, because I don't know how else I don't know how else you can challenge the Texas law unless you can prove that there is, discrimination against Hispanics. But I think the first question, George, that a judge would ask them in a lawsuit is, why is it that Hispanic Republicans have no trouble voting? In fact, they're voting in huge numbers. So how can you say that it discriminates if one Republican can vote and the other one cannot? So maybe the issue is not discrimination. So I expect the Democrats to put up a fight, but they'll eventually this one will pass, George.
Yeah, I must agree with you on that, and that the Supreme Court ruling has put a big damper on any arguments and any theatrics that they may want to do. I think that there's they walked out en masse at the end of the session to prevent it from passing. heaven knows what kind of theatrics they will do this time. I'm not sure that that they will pick this one, but because there are several other emotional issues that they are probably going to focus on.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think that the definitely the Supreme Court opinion has put a damper on them.
Yeah, I think that was that Supreme Court opinion is going to make. Because the Democrats were counting on this vote suppression topic to be their big issue of 2022. They were really focusing on having a national campaign around that issue. But I assume they were also hoping that some of these laws would be challenged in the courts, and maybe by some reason they would win one of the suits. But I think the Supreme Court opinion pretty much, I just don't see where you go after that Supreme Court opinion. I mean, I guess you can always file a lawsuit, but I'm not sure that it's going to have anything. Well, there's a lot of other issues on the docket, as they say, on the agenda, George, and I want to get your reaction. We were talking off the air, and you mentioned border security. Now, that's on the ticket. It's on the agenda, voter security, but I think it has more to do with supporting law enforcement agencies and other and other groups down on the border, but not that much of border security. Do you think that's because that issue we're already going to build a border wall, and also the polling data is showing that this issue that Abbott is winning on this issue, George?
Let me tell you. From interviewing so many people, sheriffs and other politicians in particular, law enforcement folks, ranchers on the border, this issue has the potential to become, a political Fort Sumter.
Mm-hmm.
And I I'm not trying to be dramatic, but political Fort Sumter for the United States, because the counties and the state are now struggling, and states, because there's several states that are now struggling to figure out how they can deal with an international issue, with an international crisis that the Biden administration, that the federal government flatly refuses to deal with.
Right.
So I don't think that any bill or legislation is going to help address it. I think this is going to be strictly a political hot potato, or just a heated political discussion that will probably end up in the courts and create a further. I would even say that it may create a constitutional crisis at some point.
Yes.
Because federal government just refuses to step forward.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think you're right. I mean, that could be where we're headed. I also think, George, that this issue you indicated so well, this issue is exactly the kind of issue that could actually divide the Democrat Party between, let's say, the Democrats in Dallas or Houston and the Democrats in South Texas. Because for many of the Democrats, let's say, in Dallas or Houston, this is an immigration issue, immigration reform type of issue. But I think when you get down to South Texas, this is a matter of violence and chaos and expenditures that you have to incur because you have to obviously police the border and so on. So this could be the kind of issue that could divide the Democrat Party. I cannot think of any, and you know this better than me, but I just don't understand why any Democrat south of Texas would support what's going on. Even if you disagree with Trump and what he did, how in the world can you agree or support what President Biden is doing? I mean, look at Henry Cuellar as a good example of what I'm talking about, George.
That's exactly right. I mean, it has created a real problem for Democrats in South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And, the diehard theorists, the diehard folks that are, gosh, border on being communist, in my opinion, Democrats, they, you know, the AOCs, the Rashida Tlaibs, these folks are going to create a real problem for mainstream and moderate Democrats.
Well, I agree. I agree with you 100%. So that's why I this may very well be the reason why you don't see a lot of Democrats fighting this issue, because they don't agree among themselves as to what some of the biggest critics, George, and you've told us this on some of the previous podcasts, some of the biggest critics of the Biden policy on the border are in fact Democrats. The Republicans just won the mayor's race in McAllen, Texas, and I'm pretty sure the number one issue was the border, George.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It is it is really, really creating a real problem in these Democrat strongholds that are on the border, because that's where the people are seeing firsthand this border crisis that they're not doing anything to, that they're not addressing. That on the contrary, today it was announced that the Biden administration is not going to detain any pregnant women or women that are nursing. Well, you know, guess what? Tomorrow we're going to see a lot of pregnant women crossing the border.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I mean,
so you know, everything that they do in the name of humanitarianism is wrong, because what they're doing is just encouraging people to endanger their lives. In this case, endanger their fetuses.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. I mean, this is insane. I mean, there's already 500,000 people up here. You would think somebody in the White House, you know, would say, I think we've got enough. I think we've brought in enough. Let's put an end to this. But no, it just keeps going and going and going. And I have no idea what they're thinking in the White House, because what they're doing just makes absolutely no sense. And like you say, the people who are really being hurt by this are the Hispanics who live in that part of the country, because they're the ones who are, you know, they're the ones who are suffering the crime and seeing these people walk by. I mean, they're the ones who are seeing the chaos firsthand, George. Let me take a little break, George, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about a couple of other things that are on the agenda. The one about young people playing sports, and the other one that is not on the agenda is the power grid. So we'll talk a little bit about that. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our friend George Rodriguez from South Texas, talking about this legislative session that just started here in Austin in the last couple of days. Now, there are some other issues on the agenda. Not many of them are very important or consequential or the kinds of things that should create controversy, but there are a couple of them, one that is on the agenda and one that isn't, that were at least interesting to me. We'll see what George has to say about it. One of them is interesting to me is the one about youth sports. Now, basically what that is the idea that boys would play as boys and girls would play as girls in sports, meaning that if a boy, you know, becomes a girl, I guess, at least emotionally or whatever, then that person doesn't get to play with the girls. And we've seen the damage of this policy in many other districts across the country, where you have, you know, young girls, 17, 18 years old, who've been practicing all their life, maybe to win a scholarship or whatever, and some guy comes in who is, you know, a lot bigger, a lot stronger, he runs a lot faster, he's the one winning the trophy and potentially the scholarship. Well, that has a lot of parents very angry, to say the least, and with good reason, in my opinion. So that's on the agenda, George. That one, I think, could become controversial because, again, like I said before with immigration, this is an issue that I think divides Democrats again. It divides Democrats between left and center, because most of I don't know of any single Hispanic parent, George, who would like to see a boy playing on his daughter's team, George. I've never met any of them. Maybe you have, but I haven't, George.
Yeah, unless it's a co-ed team, I'm not sure that that's ever going to happen. But definitely when they're not, when it's one-on-one competition against
sure.
each other. We have seen that already in weightlifting in New Zealand, and we've seen it in running in running track competition in the state of Maine and in the state of Massachusetts, where boys, people that were born boys, definitely outperformed
mm-hmm.
The girls. And this has the potential of being very, very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the whole idea of voter integrity, this one is going to get very, very, in my opinion, it's going to get very, very emotional. People are going to be screaming, yelling. And it's fascinating to me how women who are very, very big on women's equality, on women's rights, will defend and support this idea of transgenderism.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand that.
Well, I think that it just goes to show. I think they're left first and feminist second. I think that what that says to me, because you're exactly right. I mean, you're exactly right. You have, you know, a 17-year-old girl who, and I mean, this actually did happen in either Maine or Massachusetts or Connecticut, where they had these track and field competitions. I mean, you had a young woman who's been practicing all her life, you know, the aspiration of going to college with an athletic scholarship, and then she gets to the finals, and some guy beats her. And I, you know, I don't have a daughter, but if I had a daughter and I saw that, I'd be pretty upset, George. I'd be
Definitely.
Very angry that my
Definitely.
Daughter was defeated by a guy who is 20 to 30 pounds heavier, who runs faster because he's a guy. Now, this is not a civil rights issue. This is a matter of simple biology, George.
Well, and that, again, you know, I am so tired of being told that we conservatives somehow deny science.
right.
You know, all I can say is, and in this case, they deny reality.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's it. I mean, when you cannot tell the difference, biologically, that is, between a 17-year-old boy and a 17-year-old girl. I mean, you look at them, and the boy is 6'3", 200 pounds, and the girl is maybe 5'4", 100 pounds. Well, the boy is going to run faster. He's stronger. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just reality. It has nothing to do with civil rights. And I think you're right. This could be a real heavy issue for a lot of Hispanic parents. Because, as I said, I've never met a Hispanic father who said, wow, let's go to the competition so we can see Johnny defeat Mary. I don't think that works, George.
It doesn't. I mean, it is a really, I mean, I can't put it in any other terms than it is a concocted issue. Because if people really want fairness, as they scream and yell that they want in everything, then let people who believe that they are women compete against each other, and let women who believe that they are men compete against each other. But to have a mixture of the two competing and then pretending like everything is just fine, it's not realistic. It's absolutely delusional.
It is. Totally. I mean, totally. No question about it. I mean, all you have to do is look at the images, the photos that have come out of this and see these boys defeating the girls. And, you know, I feel terrible for these young women who've been practicing all their lives to accomplish these objectives. And I don't know what I would do. I don't have a daughter, but I don't know what I would do. I think I would be fit to be tied, as the saying goes. I would really be angry that this was tolerated in the school district. Well, another issue, George, that actually did not make the agenda formally is the issue of the power grids or the electricity. And I don't know if it is because it doesn't lend itself to a quick session like this, or for whatever reason, it didn't make it. But I know a lot of people, this is one of the biggest topics that they want the government to deal with. And I, for one, believe very strongly that we need to build more capacity. Not only are we growing in terms of population, but, you know, Texas could use, you know, more power plants. We could use more nuclear plants, in my opinion. And we're not touching this at this session. I hope we do it at the next one, George, because if we have to go through what we went through in February, that's not going to be good for the governor, I don't believe, George.
I have a very special interest in this because I was four days in freezing cold weather without power. I mean, 4 days I went through. My house got down to literally 45 degrees inside the house. It was awful. And then, to realize that the reason that it was because our local city-owned power company has been downsizing and transitioning to clean energy, and therefore the capacity was not there, really irks the heck out of me. Really, really irks
right.
the heck out of me. So it's got to be addressed. In my opinion, it's got to be addressed. We need greater capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Our population is growing. Our industries are growing. We need more coal burning, more gas burning, more fossil fuel burning energy. That's
right.
all there is to it. And for people to say, well, you know, we're killing Mother Earth, or to be worried more about the Amazon than our industry and our cooling and heating, again, the word delusional comes to mind.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I care about the Amazon too, but I don't know what living without electricity for 4 days is going to do to hurt the Amazon or help the Amazon. I mean, I just think that, you know, we need to be creative. I don't have a problem with alternative energies, but I know one thing. Oil works. I mean, I know that's the one we've been using, and it works real well. Now, for a long time, I have felt that nuclear power would work really well here in Texas because you could have, you know, we could commit ourselves, let's say, to building a major nuclear plant facility in every metropolitan area that could potentially take care of most of the residential needs in that area. I think that would be great. Of course, that's going to take time. But, I'm a little bit concerned that nothing is being done at this session when I do believe a lot of voters want this to be addressed, George.
Yeah, it's very, very disturbing to me that we have just gone through a terrible situation in February, and they've been talking about how we might have rolling blackouts again
mm-hmm.
during the summer.
Right.
However, because this summer has been so unique in South Texas, where we've had so much rain, and you know, it only got up to 80 degrees today here in San Antonio.
Wow!
I mean, that's how that's unheard of. That is absolutely unheard of. So, that has allowed us to escape perhaps a crisis in the energy. But the fact of the matter is that we still need more energy.
We do. Well, we do because, we're growing in population like crazy. I mean, the number of people moving into the state is unbelievable. So obviously when they move in, they need housing, they need energy. The companies that are moving in, you go here to North Texas, Frisco and Prosper, and you see these huge buildings and campuses, as they like to call them, of companies moving in. You know, I think when JCPenney came to Texas or to Plano a few years ago, George, they brought 6,000 employees. I mean, that's a city. That's a city right there. So,
yeah.
So we have a lot of needs, and we have to focus on, like you say, increasing capacity. There's no other way. Well, we'll see how this one turns out. We'll take a look at it at the next time that we talk, but I believe, George, one last point here. I thought the last session was a real win for Governor Abbott. I know he didn't get the vote law, but I mean, I I don't see a lot of people complaining about what happened, George.
Well, no, and the only people that really were complaining were the people were of course the losers, the Democrats, but people who want the governor to walk on water, who want it all. You know, I'm sorry, but politics doesn't work like that. And you know, the stuff that he got done, I frankly applaud it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I saw a note today that somebody was not going to support Governor Abbott because of how he shut down the state because of Corona. Well, you know, first of all, our shutdown was not like in other states, first of all, so it was a lot less. But I think that, you know, I had no problem with that a year ago, but now at the same time, I give Abbott a lot of credit for opening up the state. I mean, Texas was at the forefront of reopening, and we continue to do very well. I mean, our COVID numbers are excellent here in the North Texas area. Something like less than 3% of the hospitalizations in the area have to do with COVID. Well, I think that's a pretty good success story, George.
I do. I mean, you know, we don't, you know, we don't appreciate sometimes what other states, what citizens in other states have to go through. We really don't. I mean,
right.
We have no idea. We have no idea of how bad things are in other communities and in other states.
Right. Well, you know, as I mentioned to somebody, somebody said to me here recently, "Who are you going to vote for?" And I said Abbott, and they go, "Why?" And I said, "Because I want to win in November. Abbott is the most electable of the three men running. I'm not saying the other two are bad. Don't misunderstand me. I think West is a good guy, but I would have preferred for West, frankly, to pick one of these congressional seats where there is a Democrat, you know, let's say, who could be vulnerable in 2022. I wish West had concentrated in one of those congressional seats and tried to flip back one of those seats. I think he would do the party a much bigger service by doing that than by, you know, wasting all those resources challenging a governor he's not going to defeat. I mean, he's not going to beat him. So why not focus on a congressional district, George?
I agree. I really I agree. But then again, you know, people want to gain political power so that they can pursue their, you know, their agenda, their goals, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know,
yeah. Well,
as long as we defeat the Democrats, I'm happy.
Well, I am too. I am too. And in my opinion, our best shot for doing that is Abbott, because he is not only, I mean, it's the old story. I think it was William F. Buckley who once said that you pick the most conservative person who can win. You don't pick the most conservative person. You pick the most conservative person who can win. And at this moment, it's Governor Abbott, George.
Well, you know, it is. We have got to we've got to stand back, and we've got to understand that he has accomplished many, many good things. Not 100%, but he certainly has, and I think that's, you know, I just cannot see at this point, absent him making a big mistake somewhere down the line in the next couple of months, in the next few months. I think it's going to be very difficult for them to beat him.
I agree. I completely agree with you. Well, George, get back in that, I guess get yourself a bigger umbrella and get out of the rain this weekend, and let me know how that climate change is working out down there, because I think you're probably a big fan of global cooling right now, George, down in Texas.
Let me tell you, it's not bad.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you like living in San Francisco, George.
It's you know, we've had a lot of rain, and but it's been very, very nice and cool.
Yeah. Who knew that Seattle would come to San Antonio, George?
Right. That's right.
Yeah, Seattle, they get a lot of rain up there. And San Francisco, of course, has San Francisco has perfect weather. So that's the other place. Thank you for joining me tonight, as always, George. Thank you for joining us on short notice. And any speeches coming up, or are you going to stay in town for a while?
No, yes. On Tuesday, I'm speaking in Medina County. I am also speaking in Houston.
Oh, right.
On, let me see, I'm speaking in Houston on the 27th, but next Tuesday in Medina County, to the Medina County Republican Women. Actually, it's going to be in Hondo, where the event will be.
You keep talking to all these Republican women. I'm going to have to figure out what your charm is, because every time you're on the show, you're telling me, "Well, I'm talking in front of the Republican women. I'm talking in front of the Republican women," and I'm going to say, "My God, George is a movie star."
Well, these ladies are movers and shakers. I will tell you, if you want to get anything done, they're the ones that get it done.
You know, isn't that the truth? I mean, you hit a home run once again. That is exactly right. It's just like at the church. When the priest wants to get something done, he doesn't call the men. He calls the women and says, "Hey, I need this done," and the women get it done. So you got to give the ladies a lot of credit, whether it's getting things done at the church or getting things done politically. They are great at getting things done, George. They'll work, and that's what makes these ladies so wonderful, George. They work. And that's what we need. So you're right. These ladies are absolutely great. Well, enjoy the speech, George, and we'll chat again about Texas, and we'll do an update on Beto O'Rourke next week. We'll see how his listening tour is coming along, George.
That'll be very, very interesting. Yes.
Yeah. If you happen to run into him, ask him how is the listening tour coming along, George?
What is he here?
Yeah, just kind of, what is he hearing? That's right. What is he hearing? Not from the people who they're paying to see him, but the people who actually come to see him, who are actually coming there. Because I understand they're paying people to see him. That's what I heard the last time, George.
Yeah. That's at a big meeting, at a big rally in Austin the other day. They actually pay people to come.
Why not? Why not? Why not? Let's make it 2018 all over again, I guess. That's their strategy. George, thank you so much, and good night, and we'll chat again. And thank you for your time, as always.
You got it. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas is always checking up with him and what he's doing. Very active, as you can see. He speaks a lot around town and talks to a lot of, talks to a lot of Republican groups. Just a very well-connected and a wonderful friend and a great friend of our show as well. So we'll keep an eye on the legislative session here in Texas. We'll talk about it the next time we talk to George. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.